You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all great.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yeah, hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Monday, the 16th of March. We've got one live meeting, live view on Racing Radio. That's Nace gets underway at 2 o'clock. We've got seven races as the Irish flat season gets underway. And we've got some decent racing as well. There's the Group 3 Park Express Stakes, the Devoy Stakes, the Listed Contest as well a little bit earlier on in the card. And we'll see many horses out for the first time this season, and some, of course, who have been in action on the all-weather over the past few months as well. Looking forward to that. Me, John Gibby, alongside Alistair Jones on Racing Radio, figuratively onside, because we've currently got our pundits on the line, and that also goes for Paddy Aspall, who joins me on the podcast today. Hello, Paddy, how are you?
How are you, John?
Yeah, good. Good to have you with us. We've had you on Racing Radio today for those who are listening live, and enjoyed your input. But strange times in the world of racing at the moment, with, of course, just Ireland going ahead and all behind closed doors.
Yeah, it certainly is. I bet it's quite a strange experience if you were even lucky enough to be at one of the meetings. But nonetheless, it's good that we've got action on our screens and some good action as well. And as long as Ireland can keep the show on the road, I mean, they've used their initiative, because even on days when they're generally busy on Saturdays and Sundays, so days when they have had double meetings, they've spread them out through the week so that they've only got the one meeting. And so therefore, I think we've got racing every day through until pretty sure as far as the 29th of March. So hopefully it can keep continuing that way.
Yeah, and I like the move to switch the evening Dundalk meeting into the afternoon as well, because when there's no racing, not only in Britain but in other European countries as well, I guess it really allows the Irish action to kind of own the day.
Yeah, exactly, that's right. And they certainly have used their initiative, and if they're able to do it, and they can, there's no reason why they can't do it, because it means that stable staff and the like haven't got such a long day on a Friday as well. So it all makes sense for everybody, doesn't it?
Well, we'll look ahead to a couple of the races from Nace in a few moments' time. Before we do that, though, let's look back for the benefit of those who are listening to us on demand on the podcast for the Ulster National. Those who are listening on Racing Radio heard this race just moments ago live on the show, Paddy, and it was a winner for Space Cadet, 25-1. Big price for Gerard O'Loughlin, who was, as you mentioned, a young trainer, a rider as well, and claiming amateur, having his first winner. So really a great story in that regard for this horse who used to be with Gordon Elliott.
Yeah, it really was. And it did so well with this horse, to be fair. I'm pretty sure it was just his seventh start for the stable. But, I mean, he's now won three of the seven starts. And, I mean, in between that, he's finished fourth behind Chris's Dream. I mean, he was £4 out of the handicap when they ran him in the Welsh National, and he pulled up there. And then at Punchestown in February, he fell sort of mid-race. And like I said, that was a much better effort at Nace last time. Looked like he was slowly coming back to form. But he's been a good horse for Connections in the past, and fair play. I mean, to put a pair of blinkers on a 10-year-old takes a little bit of guts maybe at times, because some people might think it's a bit harsh, but it's certainly done the trick today. But he's had to dig deep, because from the back of the second last, he was hard off the bridle. But it's amazing to think that his rider was riding his first ever winner under any code, because he certainly looked very capable in the saddle. And he was chased home by Amelino with PJ Hannah, another £7 claimer on board, and the Willie Mullins mare ran very, very respectable in third, If You Catch Me Now. So the form has got a reasonably solid look to it.
And I suppose the positive for Amelino and If You Catch Me Now, at the age of seven, their best days could be ahead of them, whereas with Space Cadet, in all probability, going to be on a downward curve from now on. You can see those who finished in behind going on to bigger and better things, especially the Mullins mare.
Yeah, you certainly could. For me, I would probably think it's not enough of a test for her round here. I mean, I know they're giving the ground as soft, but it's a real good drying looking day at Downpatrick. So, and going the other way around, on a much quicker track than what she won on last time. I just think more of a stiffer test, maybe in more winter conditions as well, would suit her. But I suppose the thing about Space Cadet is he's done his job now, because he's 3 from 7 for the stable, and today he's picked up 30 grand. So the thing is, they could probably do away with the blinkers now, and he can maybe just wait his turn, and in the process, his mark will come down at the same time, and I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere else along the line.
With the ground drying out, would you put that down as one of the reasons why a number of those towards the head of the betting were a little bit disappointing? It wasn't quite as much of a test as perhaps some connections were expecting?
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, watching the race, they didn't appear. I know they had a long way to go, 3.5 miles, but they didn't appear to go a breakneck gallop. So there was certainly one or two below par performances in behind. But for me, a lot of that you would have to put down to the Downpatrick factor, because although I've not ridden there, I have been, and I've yet to see a track like it. It's very unique, and certainly isn't for every horse.
Yeah, I've been looking at it in a bit more detail on the screens today here in the studio. I've never been to Downpatrick myself, but it seems in two elements, really. The shape is pretty unconventional, but then also the way it undulates is quite dramatic in places.
Yeah, I mean, when they go past the finish line, it's literally like they drop off the earth. It's a very, very steep drop. And then obviously, I say they get racing from quite a way down, because from the third last, they're freewheeling. So jockeys are trying to get momentum down the hill. But, you know, from the last, you've got last fence and hurdle. You've still got a fair bit of ground to cover, so you can see an awful lot of change in results, and a very, very narrow run in as well. You probably won't see narrower than what Downpatrick have got. So there's no doubt it's unique, but it's a race that a lot of trainers, especially Northern Ireland based trainers, want to win. So they didn't win today, but the second is trained by a North of Ireland trainer, but it certainly is a real feather in the cap for the Northern Ireland trainers.
Well, that was Space Cadet winning the Ulster National, the feature race at Downpatrick on Sunday. Let's turn our attention now to some of the action we've got coming up on Monday, Paddy, and it's the return of the Flat Over in Ireland as Naas stages the first card of that type of the year. We've got a couple of good races coming up, a Group 3, a listed race as well. As usual, you've come up with two selections for us for the action at Naas on Monday. In which race does the first one run?
Well, I suppose the first thing to mention is that the opening meeting on the flat tomorrow is going to be run on heavy soft in places. So it really is going to be hard work for certainly the 2-year-old. But, and like you say, John, it's a very, very good card. And as you can expect, it's been very, very well supported. Plenty of runners in each race. But for me, I have gone in the last two races here, the Lodge Park Stud Fillies Group 3. I've gone for Gerline's Double with Even So. This filly by Camelot was a real, real eye catcher on debut, and got the job done in no uncertain terms at Goring next time. We've ridden pretty positively that day. That was last September. Handicapper has given her a mark of 97. There is Blissful here, Aidan O'Brien. She's rated 101. Hammerina, 4-year-old in the lineup here, is rated 102 at the top, and we've got other fillies as well with marks in the mid 90s. But I just thought Even So looked very, very promising. She's got some quite fancy entries, and she's shown already that she stays this trip. And if she has wintered well from stall 3, I mean, obviously a lot of this is guesswork, because different trainers will have their strings at different levels of fitness, and especially even the last few weeks with things being a little bit unknown racing wise, one or two stables who are normally quite forward at the start of the flat season could just be sort of 10 days or a fortnight behind. So we've got to sort of be gauged by stable form, 2-year-old wise, especially in the early days, and obviously quite tested conditions tomorrow. But the first leg of the two selections tomorrow is even so for Geraldine's in that Group 3 filly stakes from stall 3.
I suppose the positive as well for even so is I know that people rabbit on about this till, you know, the end of time, this time of year, but you mentioned yards having their strings at different levels of fitness. Well, you know, historically we do know that Aidan O'Brien's, especially the fillies, aren't always ready to go first time out.
Exactly, yeah. This is what I'm taking into account. And especially with his two-year-olds as well tomorrow, he's got plenty of runners on the card. It's anybody's guess, really, where they're at, to be honest. So it'll be interesting to get a look at them newcomers tomorrow. And you'll probably have a fair idea as if they're going to take their debut comeback run of the season.
Okay, and the other pick that runs in the last race, is that correct?
Yeah. Next one was a filly, or a colt, sorry, by Oasis Dream in Loch Cutra. I mean, there's some real, real nice types in here, certainly on paper. And to be honest, in the juvenile races as well at Naas tomorrow, some real, real impressive ones. But because they are from the Ballydoyle team, I'm maybe giving them the swerve because of what we just talked about. But in this one, I'm with Loch Cutra because he's from a real, real good Judmont family, this colt. And that was a real good effort up the Curragh. And the reason I've gone for this horse over Russian Emperor is because they certainly had different ground conditions. I mean, it was pretty quick ground when Russian Emperor made his debut at the Curragh behind a stablemate last summer. He's got some fancy entries as well, but that was pretty quick ground from stall 11 tomorrow, Russian Emperor. And Loch Cutra, he is, albeit out in stall 21, that opening effort of his over 7 furlongs at the Curragh was full of promise, finished off his race very, very nicely. And he looks to me like a horse who's going to be staying these sort of middle distances going forward. So if he can overcome that stall 21 tomorrow and cope conditions, Loch Cutra, for me, if he can back up that debut effort, he looks a colt certainly to keep on the right side of.
Loch Cutra are currently 7-2 in that 5 o'clock at Naas, and the price for even so is 5-2 there in that that Park Express Stakes at 4:30. And those are the two selections for Paddy in the racing we've got coming up at Naas on Monday. You can hear it live on Racing Radio. Gets underway 1:50 p.m. We'll be on air, myself, John Gibby, Alistair Jones, taking you through the afternoon's action. And Paddy, thanks very much for joining us on today's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.